better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ Podcast. I'm JT, and I'm here with Joey Worthington. Flex. Deload week. Sometimes you got to back it off to ramp it up. What does that mean? So for the best part, most people are just trying to train as good as they can, as hard as they can, all the time. But if you're actually trying to get stronger and you're trying to increase your longevity and stay good throughout the whole year, not just go super hard and burn out, every 6 weeks or so, sometimes 12 weeks, depending on the person, it is good for you to take a week to reduce how intense your lifting is and also reduce how intense your rolling is. And we're going to kind of get into the details of this because we do advocate for a deload week in the Bulletproof for BJJ program, don't we, Joe?
We do. Deloading is, should we talk about where it comes from?
Please.
So it's a sports science thing, probably was developed by the Russians because a lot of our best sports science comes from there. But it was essentially looking at athletes and looking at their preparation and planning their training and recognizing that you can't just redline all the time. So you have these periods of work and then you need a period of sort of dedicated rest.
Restitution.
Yeah, which is the deload, and that kind of allows you to recover and then you go back into a period of work. And so in the strength world where things are formalized and structured, i.e. you're doing this many sets of this exercise and this is how many exercises per workout, and you know we can really quantify it all. Deloads are very kind of easy to slot into that and a great feature of it. In jiu-jitsu, obviously, a little bit more chaotic, a bit harder to put in, but I do think that most people can identify with the idea that we tend to just go hard all the time.
Yeah.
And there's no real period where you're like, maybe I won't go super hard this week. Maybe that would be good for me.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's funny this came up speaking with our man, young Julian. Jules was saying, man, body's feeling a bit beat up. This guy's young. He's young and lithe and, you know, good to go. But it's true, if you start rolling harder or you're rolling bigger people, maybe you've got a comp coming up. The classic mistake I see is even at the top level, guys rolling really hard up until only like a couple of days before comp and then just back it off a bit. When actually, when you look at it like a deload process, tapering is different to deload, but if we are to talk about just reducing your training volume, as in the amount of sessions you're doing, or slightly reducing the intensity, it takes a good 2 weeks for your body to really come back to 100%. No kinks, body's not aching, you know, nervous system is fresh, peak performance. But we have this huge...
Think of how you all felt in those initial couple of weeks of COVID. We're like, I feel good.
I feel great.
Fuck. No jiu-jitsu, getting a little bit more sleep.
No back pain.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing that's probably underestimated here is that we have FOMO. It's like, oh, I wasn't at class, or, oh, but they're all... Everyone's out there having fun and what am I doing, you know? And here's the thing. We are not advocating for doing nothing. That's not what a deload is. A deload is an ability for you to reduce the total percentage of load or volume, depending on what you're aiming for in terms of recovery. And then also with your BJJ, it's being able to train but perhaps have the discipline of not rolling or not going to
rolling
war.
In a different way.
Yeah, not saying, hey, man, you want to have a light roll? Never say that, because it's never going to be a light roll. It is definitely going to be a fight to the death. But also in yourself, allowing yourself to get swept, maybe not winning the roll, like going through the motions. Some people can't do it. I know some people who just...
It's tough. Should we split them up, strength training, then jits?
Yes, that's what we'll do.
All right, so let's go strength training then. So what are we talking about? Most training programs are a collection of like, hey, do these workouts for a period of time, right? Yeah. Like ours, we do like six weeks generally.
Yeah, we do a 6 week cycle. Some other training programs will do like 12 weeks.
Yep.
But I mean, we've broken it up into 6 weeks so that you can have two cycles. So there is like a degree of variety within those two blocks.
Yep.
Still the same movements and working the same energy system, same goal, but it's so you don't plateau. But here's the thing. If you are doing jiu-jitsu and weightlifting, that's a heavy composite to put together. You're not just lifting. And
strength training. But also body weight strength.
Body weight. But you're lifting your body. I know you don't like that term, right? So, yeah. Sorry.
Just feel like it's a bit exclusive.
Sorry, gymnastic,
you
know? Joe.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, hey, what about the calisthenics warriors?
Hey.
What about us movement guys?
What about body weight?
What about side splits, man? Back bridge.
Very capable. Highly capable individuals.
Barbell is life.
I respect them all. Unless you deadlift. There's no point to, if you cannot deadlift, there's no point to live. Basically, your nervous system, even though you may not be aware of it, is going to hit a certain point of, you know, they talk about, there's different discussions around neural fatigue, but basically, if you're lifting heavy all the time, there'll be a point at which you're not as fresh, you won't move the bar or your body as fast or as well, and your quality will diminish. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. If you're doing jiu-jitsu and you are lifting, there'll be a point where even though you could keep maybe going, adding a few extra reps or adding a bit more weight, if your intention is to be stronger in 12 weeks, you know, 6 months' time, you want to have these little ebb and flows, because it has been shown, whether it's sprint training, Olympic lifting, anything that's high intensity or hard, it hits a point of diminishing returns. You do it for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, it actually stops giving you gains.
Because there's a cumulative fatigue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you get to a point of like, yeah, it gives you whatever it was going to give you, and then you need to give yourself a bit of a break before you either continue that or do something different.
Mm.
So just being like, well, nah, well, if it works for 8 weeks, we should just do it for...
Let's go 16.
16 or more.
Yeah.
Which is very much like a CrossFit thing. Like, yeah, just every week. It's just this, you know, keep going up harder, harder, harder. And this actually is not the way for you to get stronger, and it's not necessarily the way for you to get better at your jiu-jitsu. So when it comes to lifting, what we have advocated for strength training. Fuck, whatever, Joe, get over it, son.
Can we talk about handstands?
Oh, God, here we go. All right, no, it's all right. I'll forgive you. Keep extending your arms, Joe. I love it when you extend your arms. Extend them all the time so I can just fucking armbar them, bro. Yeah, push that neck out so I can guillotine it. Just really protract, extend that neck and better believe it. When you are lifting, and even though within our programs we have our 6 weeks, like our cycle rolling into the next cycle, we have consistently over the last, whatever, 4 and a bit years, advocated for people to do a deload. What does that look like? So from my own perspective with my clients or anyone else I've trained, I've always said you want to reduce it to maybe about 60% of – would you agree with that, Joe? 60% is – about right, either 60% deload or reduction in the weight that you're lifting, or potentially shortening the session, making it not as hard, not as intense.
So reducing the sets.
The sets. So you're still doing the activity.
Yeah.
You're not just sitting on your ass. You're not just playing golf for a week. You are still practicing the skill. And I was actually saying this to Julian before. I didn't quite understand this before when I was younger. I was like, but weightlifting's a tool. It's there to make you stronger. Lifting heavy makes you strong. Why not just go like that? But with all your movements, whether it's a deadlift, it's a pull-up, it's anything, it is actually a skill. There's a value in practicing the skill at less load, so your nervous system is still training but is not getting worn down.
Yep, I'd agree with that. I think whether you deload sets or you deload the weight, or I don't mind just taking a week off.
Of course.
You know, because, well, the way I kind of see it is most people are already a little bit too maxed out anyway. Like, here's the thing. If you are the person that is, if you're like nailing everything, if you're nailing your sleep, your nutrition, your training super consistent, like if you're doing it all, then I think like following the scientific method is the best way for you. But most people aren't getting enough sleep, aren't eating well enough, you know. So in that way, I'm like, look, man, probably just having a week where you're kind of just taking it a little bit easier. You know, which means maybe don't go to the gym, you know, whatever. We'll talk about the jits thing after. But I think in that simplified way for that person, it can make it easier. But we're getting at the same thing, right? It's like having a period, like a week where you kind of, you cut your workload a little bit. Yeah, it's super important. I can speak from like my experience right now. where we've been following a program in my small group, and it's this one's an 8-week cycle, and we've been focusing on high volume strength training.
Yes, you guys have been doing a lot of sets of reps.
We have, and it's week 6 now, and man, coming into like doing the workout today, because if you think about it, like the first week or two, you're kind of getting comfortable with the movements. And you're also establishing your working weights. So you're like, oh, that was good today, but I could probably go a bit heavier on the squats and maybe on the pulls next week. So then, yeah, next week you go a little bit heavier. And then next week after that, you go a little bit heavier. It's at week 6 now. I've been progressively adding weight to the point where now every fucking set is really hard.
It's hard, yeah.
Yeah, and I felt it. Like, I'm like, man, this is crushing me today. And I felt it like yesterday I went to do my regular kind of flexibility work, and I'm like, I don't have the gas for this. Like, I'm just not going to do this today because I'm cooked.
Yes.
Sure, there's other things that could be contributing to that, but more than likely it's because I'm at week 6 of the program.
Sure.
Now, week 7 and 8 are going to be even harder grinds, right? If I continue to grind in that same way, something's going to break. I'm going to burn out. I'll get sick. This is the usual one, isn't it?
Sure.
You catch a cold or like something, your immune system is basically crushed and you get ill.
Your body forces a rest week.
Yeah, right? Or, you know, whatever, I just all of a sudden become extremely demotivated and I'm like, I'm not fucking training. Like, fuck that. Or or I cop an injury because my connective tissue is a bit fatigued.
Super tight.
Like, so the body will find a way to deload you, right, if it has to. But so if I can recognize that and go, all right, 6 weeks, okay, the next few weeks are going to be real tough. But then if I don't respect it and take some time then to reset, I am going to break. So –
and you might have to take more time off.
Exactly. So I think when you're embarking on a program, you need to understand that you're going to experience different things along the way. And it's almost like there's this increasing pressure to take a fucking break. As you get closer to the end, take the fucking break.
For sure. And there's different ways that you can do it. For those of you out there who are maybe not training, God, Joe's very consistent. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They, you know, him and his small group, they're always in here. It's just not a negotiable thing, right? But for some of you out there, maybe if you're only getting 2 sessions in a week and maybe your jiu-jitsu is just 1 or 2 sessions a week as well anyway, from my perspective, when I look at that, I would say don't break the habit, because if you've gotten into this good habit of lifting twice a week, what you could simply do is just do the warm-up and then potentially just do the you know, series A, maybe the series B, but lighter, but then maybe don't do the accessory or whatever it might be, depending on where you are relevant to our program. Or, and this is the most challenging thing, I struggle with this. I mean, I actually, you know, it's all ego, guys. Like, when you say to yourself, I can do more, I can be better, it's like, why? Who are you impressing? Like, no one cares but you. Like, why do you, what is going on in your mind that you have to push yourself in this way? Lifting lighter, for me, is incredibly hard. I'm like, what am I doing? Just wasting my time here.
Yeah.
But there's great value to speed of movement and quality of movement. So if you reduce the weight, you do exactly the same workout, but only lift it 60% of what you were lifting before, same sets, same reps, come away from the workout with a little bit of energy in the tank, there's massive value to that.
Absolutely.
And I'm someone who's struggled to do this. So the reason why I say this is it makes you go, well, that didn't make me stronger. No, actually it did, because what it's done is it's bought you a whole bunch of recovery that actually allows you to the next week jump back in and consistently go hard. And that's the thing. If you think, no, but consistently going hard is every single day, no, it's your ability to work out across the whole year, year after year, you know, across your lifetime, as opposed to I went really hard for 6 months, got a really bad injury, and now I haven't gone back. Totally different. So my personal take on the deload thing is don't do nothing. That's a double negative. Don't be totally inactive. Should be a bit more explicit. Keep the good habit, but do it lighter if you can. That's my.
Yeah, I feel that. You know, looking at like, say, my group that trained with me, everyone's got their own shit that they're doing, you know, working and whatever outside of training, obviously. So some of them are like hyper consistent. And for those, it will be an enforced deload, because it'll be like, dude, you've been doing these fucking barbell Zercher squats and deadlift and one arm deadlifts for 8 weeks. Let's be really accurate about this deload week. But then there's others who are like, oh, I had to go away for a week for work.
Yeah.
You know, so I took away, you know, did you train? Oh, you know, I did some push-ups in the hotel room. You know, I went for a big walk, whatever. So for those guys, I'm like, wow, deload's less necessary because you weren't consistent anyway.
Yeah.
So that, you know, and so for that person, like you said a moment ago, it might be more important to like, let's just keep training.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're keeping the habit going. For that person, they struggle with the habit, you could say.
Yeah.
Right? Because of all these competing obligations. Whereas for those people who are like super consistent, the habit's not a problem. The problem for them is overtraining.
Yeah, being able to rest.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's kind of knowing where you sit with that and acting accordingly.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of our biggest problems is we admire many people who are performing on a very high level. And if those people are enhanced, they are recovering 24/7. They have growth hormone and testosterone coursing through their veins, healing their bodies at a crazy rate.
Coursing through, I love it. It's such a good visual where you say it's like just pulsing. You know, yeah, here's another thing on that. You look at people like and I'm going to say irrespective of like steroid use, but you look at someone like Gordon Ryan, right? Sure. Top of the game, supreme athlete in this realm of jiu-jitsu. Yep. These are not the people, enhanced or not, that you want to be modeling your training off.
No.
Sure, if you're a 25-year-old fucking killer and you're trying to compete, you know, you're trying to win ADCC, do it, model off them. But for majority of folks, you don't want to look at elite athletes and kind of imagine them as peak health because they are sacrificing health in many areas of their life in order to achieve greatness in one thing.
Yeah.
And this is the paradox that like we tend to hold athletes up as healthy individuals. They're generally not, right? It's because you have to go to extreme measures to be the best in a given field. So, you know, I think Gordon would probably do great if he just took a month off, right? Like he's, sure. You know, I'm sure, but for his mind and for his momentum and for the fucking, you know, whatever, like for all of the other things, the daily grind becomes more important.
Problem is many people look to them and go, they are a successful example of what jiu-jitsu is, or they are the epitome of what can be, right? And I actually don't think that's necessarily the truth. What I'm saying is when you do a weight training session and you create that stress stimulus and that makes your body produce growth hormone and produce testosterone and all this other stuff, you get it for a little momentary flash. And then you eat your food and you recover, the muscles rebuild, etc. And every time you have to do that. These guys have it 24/7 on blast in their system. That's a totally different thing. So when you're like, well, they don't do it. You're like, well, yeah, but they don't need to necessarily. So I want to actually go to jiu-jitsu now. I want to switch this up because Jules had also asked the question, would you deload your jiu-jitsu? If you did, how would that look? Here's a really hard thing. It's probably hard for most of us. A deload for me for jiu-jitsu would look like going to class, doing warm-up, doing technique. Maybe if there's specific training or positional work, you do that, but not rolling. I think that's the hardest. But that's what I came for. Why would I go to class and not roll? That is often where things get out of your control. At least with weight training, you've got the load, your gravity's the same, the weight's the same, how much energy you bring to it's under your control. But if I come to class and I'm a bit flat and Joey's like, I got a good night's sleep. Oh yeah, we had a babysitter. He's coming for action and I'm like, hey, Joe, could we – he's like, oh, no, not today, buddy. No rest rounds today, homie. We talked it up. We're going to roll today. I'm like, oh, God, fuck.
I've never said, no, you can't take a rest. Like, you can't,
no, no, no,
right?
I'm sorry. No, he never said that. But in theory. He's looking at me like, oh, no caffeine, eh? Let's find out what that's like. And so that's the thing you can't control. Rolling is the X factor for me. So if you're trying to – control your efforts and your exertion, taking rolling out for a week.
Yeah.
That's my take on it. What would you say, Joe?
Absolutely. That, like, if we're looking at the drain on resources in a jiu-jitsu class, it's rolling, right? The technique and the warm-up, that's just good. That's like active, you know, it's learning, skill development, all that. And then you get to roll and say, all right, here's where we're fucking burning the timber.
Yeah.
Keep pumping, you know, keep putting wood on that thing. So yeah, absolutely. Like you gotta, yeah, either not roll or you gotta be very deliberate about how you approach the session. As an example, I've been working on my back defense lately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty fucking uncomfortable, to be honest. And the sessions, you know, I'm having bruises across my jawbone and shit. But I'm actually not I'm not rolling hard at all because I'm like, bro, can you just jump on my back and try to choke the fuck out of me?
Defending.
Yeah, and I'm completely focusing on a different thing, and I'm not getting, I'm not gassing out. Yeah. No, you know, versus. It's a slap and a bump, and now we're starting standing, and it scrambles, and you know, like all the trends, all that shit. So, you can also tailor what you do in your roles in order to make it lower intensity.
For sure,
probably less applicable, maybe for people who are like brand new.
Yeah, if you're earlier in the journey, you're much more at the behest, the control of your instructor, and what your beginner's class looks like or your intermediate class looks like. So you just got to kind of go with what's there. And I was actually saying to Julian, it's better if you can have your in your week to have your harder training earlier in the week and your lighter training at the end of the week when you're more banged up. But it's the classic thing, like Friday night comp class, let's go, that's the war.
Yeah.
But in truth, that's not how you should do it. You know, and so I'm digressing slightly relevant to a deload, but if you're trying to modify your training to get the best result, I would encourage you to have your heaviest weightlifting session and your hardest jiu-jitsu session at the start of the week. So if we relate this back to the deload, if you think that like you've had 6 weeks or 8 weeks of just week on week just getting harder and harder and hararder, that week needs to be every session needs to be a light session. So for some people that might just be drilling. If you're nursing a few niggles or problems, potential injuries – for some people, that could just not be enough. They need to do some very specific skill stuff that simulates the role. But how many times have you've gone to roll with someone, maybe they're a friend or maybe they're someone you've never met before, and it's just turned into the fight of your fucking life.
Oh, it's mundials.
Oh, my God. You're like, you're working so hard. The exchanges are crazy. They're on your back. You roll them off. You're on the armbar. They don't tap.
Yeah.
It's just like, you're like, where's this going to end?
Yeah.
And it just blows out. And then at the end of it, you're both like, God, that escalated quickly. Like, oh, my God. Like, and then you both smoked, right? You couldn't have called it, but whatever combination of elements means, that's fucking wrecked you.
Yeah.
And if you have a few classes that end up like that, that week can just absolutely just put you on path for injury.
I mean, that was me from fucking white to purple, right?
Right.
Was there any different, like every session was just balls to the wall?
I think sometimes, but sometimes you can have some kind of pretty lower key sessions. But what I'm saying is if you know there's someone who it's war.
Yeah.
Avoid that person.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's a deload week.
That's right.
Just say, not this week, bro. Next week. We'll book it in for next week. Like, definitely we will, but we can't do it this week. Like,
yeah, I get it a lot. Obviously, as you get older and you get down the path further, it's easier to be more deliberate about this stuff. So these days I'm very comfortable with saying, I don't want to roll with you today, you know, because I know myself and I know the people that I train with. But I'll see with people, I'll be like, hey, do you want to do a round? And they'll be like, oh, no, nah, man, I'm injured. I'll be like, okay, cool. And they'll be like, oh, no, fuck it, let's go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, don't.
Don't
do it. Stick to your original decision. Yeah. Like, there was a moment there where you made a smart
that was
call.
Sensible.
And then you're like, oh, it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah,
you know?
It's going to be awesome.
You know? And so, and I think that's the hardest thing with jiu-jitsu is like in that moment, in the training room, it's so much fun to roll. And if you're tired, man, as soon as you engage with that person that lights your fire, you're on.
Like, it goes up.
Yeah. And it's not until afterwards that you're like, I fucking really should have taken it easier yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And that's the thing you can't know at the time, right? And I'm always really aware of this when I get like a new person in the gym. They might feel fine at the time, but they don't necessarily know how sore they're going to be the next day or the day after. And then they're crippled and they're like, I never want to go back. So I always say, like, if you haven't done these movements before, it's going to hurt you. You're going to feel it. But that can be the same about a role. Even though in the moment you're like, I'm good for this. The subsequent day or 2 days, you're just like kind of crippled, right? Like you just like – it's like when you get them random bruises. Like is that a hickey or is that a
–
who's been sucking on your bicep?
I don't know what the fuck happened there. Really sore though.
It's like you're kissing your own biceps, bro. What's going on there? But yeah, you get those random bruises. It's totally outside of your control. So the reason why we're talking about all this stuff, I don't think it's a question of if. It doesn't matter who you are. When you are trying to be stronger – as a strength training aficionado, not a lifter, because you wouldn't want to exclude anyone. And when you're trying to get better at BJJ, having a scheduled, less intense week is very important. And we were talking, Julian and I were talking about periodization. A lot of people don't get it. It's just like planning a holiday. It's the same thing with your – if you've had a real intense time at work, you're like, man, I got to book some time off just because I've got – just for my own headspace. And we do that. All humans, we program it in, right? Australians, as any other nation in the world, we love a public holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mate, we'll have a public holiday just –
Easter's coming up.
Yeah. Anything. Any reason.
Maybe Jesus was reborn or some shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. We get to eat chocolate eggs and take 4 days off.
Mate, let's do that. Barbies, beers, you name it. We'll come up with any excuse. Grand final, public holiday. You know, horse race, public holiday. You know, any reason. But that said, we love the game. We love to improve. We love all this stuff. It seems counterintuitive, but giving yourself that little bit of break will enable you to do more. And that's what we're talking about right here. It's factoring it in your lifting and factoring in your jiu-jitsu is that 1 week, and it's usually at a very specified time. We've said 6 weeks because we want people to kind of consistently have this kind of ebb and flow across the whole year. We want people to stay very consistent. But for you, you might go, nah, I'll do it in 12 weeks, but book it in because these are the things that enable you to get stronger long-term and also avoid injury. I think that's the big thing we don't talk about.
Yeah, I liken this kind of that point to not going grocery shopping when you're hungry.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's better to write your grocery list at home,
yep.
You know, and hopefully be fed and then go and do your grocery because like you just make better decisions.
Yep.
And same with jits. Like if you've kind of scheduled this time, you're like, nah, this week I'm taking a bit easier, then you are not going to be falling victim to the person saying, hey, do you want to roll? And you're like, oh, fuck it, let's go, yeah. You know? Or you know, you rock up to the gym, you're like, I was meant to be a deload, but fuck, I'm just going to test my deadlift max.
Yes.
You know, deload week. I don't have to follow the program, so I'll just do something ridiculous. So I think, yeah, it is good to kind of plan this stuff in advance so you know that it's there. And that, you know, what might that look, say, for your training? How would you do that? Would you just put it – is this something you would journal? Would you do it at the beginning of the year? Are you talking a month ahead?
The way I do it is – I will be gradually building up with my lifts. Generally, the way I've changed my training is not necessarily going heavier. I will test at the start and then every 6 to 8 weeks kind of retest. But the way I do it is I will build up my volume of reps before I add the weight. It's kind of milking the weight type thing. So I'm not constantly chucking the weight up. I'm usually adding a couple of reps to each set across a period of time and then I'll have a bit of an increase, 5 or 10% or whatever it might be. And over across 6-8 week period, it's not a whole lot, but I'll feel much stronger and more confident with that. And at the end of that time, I will retest. That's when I'll do a day, like a testing day. And then after the test, then have a week, which is a back off. And actually, I'll just change my training. I'll go from maybe I was doing lots of barbell stuff. I'll go, oh, I'm going to just do a little bit of kettlebells, a bit of scent. Maybe I'll just do a bit of circuit stuff, like stuff that's not heavy, still moves my body around. And I'm not going to feel too wrecked after it.
Yeah.
Just something that's shorter and sharper, much less time. I'll spend anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes in the gym most of the time. I'll reduce that to 30 minutes. Just go, what can I do in 30 minutes? And make sure, yeah, it might be some bodyweight stuff, maybe some plyometric stuff, hopping, jumping, just things I don't usually train. To mix it up for myself.
So you just know then you're setting out, that's your program. So you're like, after the last week where I've done my retest, that's where I have my deload.
Yeah.
What about for jiu-jitsu?
Jiu-jitsu for me...
Or is it kind of just an organic thing?
I make it a joke, but I'll actually tell people I'm ducking them.
Yeah.
Like, I will go...
Nice cover.
Hey, bro, I'm ducking you today. Just so you know, don't call me to roll. I'm only beating up blue belts today.
Yeah.
Like, what's his name? Nick, brown belt killer from
Family
Education.
Nick Majilic.
Yeah, Majilic. He's a lovely guy. He's a beast. We've never rolled and we always see each other perennially. And the other week, there was like maybe an opportunity for us to roll. And I was like, I'm ducking you this week, man. I can't do it, man. Like, it'll be.
Like, how many weeks is this motherfucker deloading
it's
for?
It's been 5 years. Yeah. As long as I've known you. We are going to roll this week. But it was just like, I was like, oh, man, I can't. The temptation was very great because I know how good he is at jiu-jitsu and I feel like I would learn a lot from the role. But I've got to make fun of myself here. Having had a more hardcore mentality, I don't really respect when, you know, when you look to someone and they just kind of avoid your gaze. And,
yeah.
They look away.
Pretend, oh, I didn't see you.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Man. Yeah, I just.
Oh, let's get it next time.
Yeah. But I try to make it very obvious. I'm not having any hard roles today, guys. So call me a pussy. Do whatever you like.
Well, I think that's a good strategy because it is very hard in that moment. And it is, we do feel there's a social pressure.
Yeah.
Person looks at you, you're like, oh, I got to do
you're
it.
You're a black belt, I'm a brown belt.
I don't want to be a pussy.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, yeah, to acknowledge it, like straight to go into the gym and go, hey, man, not today. Right. Yes, you. You know, like it's like, cool, we got that out of the way. Everyone knows where they stand.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm going to be fresher next week, Nick, so you better watch the fuck out, dog.
You had like, I'm sweating it.
You had hard rounds. Nah, not at all. It's like, you had hard rounds last week. I'm resting up. I'm good for at least one good round. But yeah, and I think being deliberate is what we're talking about. Most people are not. They're very chaotic and haphazard with it. And most people would just train up until the point they're injured and then the injury forces. But it goes beyond deload because the reason why we say deload is it allows you to reload the next week. You're not having a month or 2 months off because you have to have surgery and rehab and all that crap. It's just back it off a little so you can ramp up again soon after.
Very good.
Cool.
Guys, if you want help with your training, we got you. We got all different programs on our app available. Depending on your training situation, there's a program to suit you. Go to bulletproof@bjj.com, download the app, start training for free. See you there.